we were singing the prayer of rejoicing that Hannah, the mother of Samuel, prayed. And it struck me that as she was praying that wonderful prayer of exaltation and rejoicing, she had such a spirit of worship and praise about her because God had wrought a miracle in her life. God had done a marvelous supernatural work in her life. Hannah was a married woman, and she was barren. And she was one of two wives that the man Elkanah had. And his other wife had children, and Hannah had none. It was a great reproach to her. And undoubtedly, she came under some mocking and under some ridicule and under some scorn. And she also came under a great condemnation from herself and also from the enemy, and perhaps even from those that were close to her. That condemning spirit came because she was barren and had been unable to bear to her husband any children. And she went before the Lord, and she wept bitterly before the Lord and fasted and wouldn't eat. She wouldn't eat, she wouldn't sleep, she wouldn't anything except seek God. She just sought God with all of her heart. God heard that prayer and opened her womb. And she had a man child, and she named him Samuel because he was a gift from the Lord. And she took the child when the child was weaned, and took him up to the temple and gave him into the service of God from a very young child. And the second chapter of 1 Samuel is her prayer, and her praise, and her rejoicing. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. I tell you what, Father, there just isn't anyone like you. And it struck me this morning that as we were singing that song, that there may be some folks in here this morning that would sing that song or repeat those words simply because that was the order of the day and not really have the expression of thanksgiving in their heart because God's never had an opportunity to do anything wonderful for you. God's never had an opportunity to really touch your life in an extra special way. I mean, God's never had a chance to do something for you on the order of the magnificent. And the reason he hasn't is that you've never asked him, or that you've never asked him in faith, believing. The New Testament epistle of James tells us that we have not because we ask not. And when we do ask, oftentimes we ask amiss. Don't ask properly, don't ask right. You know, God is speaking here this morning about his love for us. How many of you believe that God loves you personally? Let me see your hand. You believe God has a love for you personally? Yes. Amen. That's what he's speaking of today. He's speaking of this wonderful love that he has for each and every one of us, each and every person that is created in his image and his likeness. And he does not respect or regard one higher than another. He does not prefer one over another. He hears the prayer of faith that comes from any mouth and any heart. And maybe the reason, think about it. I don't want to accuse anybody. I just want you to consider it. Maybe the reason that your heart is not filled with praise for this wonderful God that we worship is because he's never had an opportunity to do anything really wonderful for you like he desires to. He wants to bless you. I mean, he wants to. He wants to give. He wants to bless. He wants to save. He wants to heal. He wants to deliver. Over in the book of the Chronicles, the old-time chronicler wrote that the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro in the earth, looking for those to whom he might show himself mighty. And I ask you this morning, I just ask you, won't you be one? Won't you be one that God's eyes will find and that he will be able to show himself mighty towards you? Would you be that kind of a person today? Would you be willing just to call out to Him, put your trust in Him, call out to Him and ask Him for that great thing that you want Him to do that you think that He wouldn't do for you because He couldn't love you enough? Or that you think He wouldn't do for you because you're not good enough? Or that you think that nobody would be willing or able to do that for you? Won't you be willing to just ask God today? Ask Him for that big job that you need done, for that big miracle that you want done in your life or the life of your family or in your circumstance. Won't you just ask Him for it, and won't you believe Him for it, that He'll have an opportunity to bless you like He wants to, so that the praise of Hannah will fill your heart too? How many of you would do that with me this morning? We're going to pray here in just a moment. I want you to ask God to do a big work for you. I want you to ask Him to release the blessing that His Word says He wants to release into your life. Just ask Him to release it and believe Him for it and to fill your heart with a kind of love and praise and singleness of purpose that this woman Hannah had. You can imagine how she felt. God wants us to feel that way too. It'll only come as He has an opportunity to work in your life. And He can't work if we won't let Him. Let me ask you just to bow your heads, please. We're going to just pray a simple prayer. I'm going to give you a little quiet time just to call out to the Lord for your specific need. We're going to release our faith this morning on behalf of each one of you. Father, Your Word tells us that in Christ Jesus You have already blessed us with all spiritual blessings, and they are in the realm of the heavenlies. That You have already given every good and perfect gift. You've already made available to us. You said, Father, that all things we asked in prayer believing that we would receive. Frankly, Lord, You made some pretty big promises. You made some pretty big commitments. Jesus Himself said that if we abode in Him and His Word lived in us, that whatever we asked, that it would be done for us. On another occasion, He said that whatsoever we asked You for in His name, that You would give it to us. We confess that we don't understand with our natural mind why You would do such a thing, why You would make such a promise, why You would even want to, apart from the knowledge of what You've declared in Your Word. For God so loved the world. Every time we ask the question why, we only come up with one answer. It's always the same. For God so loved. For God so loved. For God so loved me personally, intimately, individually. God loves me. Father, we want to have that same expression of affection for You and praise for You as we see other believers have, and as we see this woman Hannah and others in the Bible, how they loved You with a reckless abandon, how they cared not what other people thought, they just loved You. We know that that came as a result of Your miracle working power made real in their lives. Each of us here today, Father, have need for Your miracle-working power. We have a need, Father, for You to do something for us that we can't do for ourselves. We're going to be bold enough to ask You for it, and brash enough to believe You for it, and forward enough to thank You for it before we even see it. You said that your eyes were roaming to and fro in the earth, and that you were looking for people to whom you could show yourself mighty, that you want your power flowing through human lives into circumstances. You want the world to be able to see in us the miracle-working power of God. Well, this morning, Father, we're asking you for that. We're giving you that opportunity to move in our lives, Father, and we're believing you in accordance to the Word for that to take place. And so now each of us, Father, in this, and in a few quiet moments here, each of us are just going to make clear to you the miracle that we're asking you for and what we're believing you for. Now, just listen carefully to us, Lord. Now, Father, as we make our requests known unto you at your invitation, we make these requests in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, your Son, our Lord. We make them in confident expectations, expecting, Lord, for these things to come to pass as we've prayed in accordance with your word. We've done what you've asked us to do, Father, and now we thank you for the answer to our prayers. We lift our hands unto you, Father, by faith and say, thank you, Lord. We say, thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We receive done these requests that we have made of you, Father. We thank you by faith. Having as yet seen not the answer, we thank you by faith, because with the eye of faith and confidence in you, we believe that we have received that which we have requested today. We give you praise and thanksgiving. Show yourself mighty, Father, on our behalf. And we promise to give you all thanks and all praise. We promise not to give your glory to another, but to give it to you. And we promise, Lord, to speak that word of thanks and of praise not only in the congregation, but also in the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I know God's going to do some wonderful things just with what we prayed. And I'm requesting that some of you will be able, that you kind of request that you've made, that you'll be able to share some of these things with the congregation at large, how God is moving in your behalf and how he's answering some of these needs for you. Praise the Lord. That's what it is, too, is amazing, amazing grace. I want to announce to you this morning that on last Monday evening, we received two more families into a covenant membership here at Water of Life, Sharon and Dan Ragsdale. Would you folks stand back there, and their two children, and David and Kathy Gardner with their two children. And this evening, Dan and Sharon and David and Kathy are going to be sharing their testimonies with us at the evening service. And if you miss this, now I don't very often say this because I'm not prone to exaggerate, but if you miss this, you will be sorry. Last Monday evening, we had the most marvelous, and we've had some wonderful times, you know, but we had the most marvelous time. God has done wondrous, wonderful works in the lives of these four believers. Beautiful, beautiful things. And you be praying today that it's a little different sharing in with a group of seven elders and then coming to the platform and sharing. I mean, you're all nice folks and all that, but just the just being here makes it a little more difficult. And I want you to pray today that these brothers and sisters will have the liberty to share what God would have them to share tonight. It'll be a special time in the Lord. And I just want you to know that as the body this morning, we welcome you and praise God for you. You may be seated. Well, this has been a very strange 24 hours. And the only thing I can tell you is I believe that today is smorgasbord day. It's and we're getting ready, I think, to get some of the final courses here. I had prepared for today the most marvelous message of great benefit to the body of Christ. And I'm sure I'll still preach it, probably this evening. Maybe sometime later. Sometimes I do get together the most. I've got a drawer. It was the longest time that the Lord dealt with me. I guess this is something for everybody today. The Lord dealt with me for the longest time as I became pastor about laboring over His Word. I mean, laboring laboriously. I don't mean spending time studying, but laboring over His Word. And that He wanted to show me that His Spirit would put in me and deal with me on the subject that needed to be ministered at the services. And if I would just be open to Him and just yield to Him, that He would bring those things forth. And for the longest time, I never had anything to back, any backstop. And there were times, many of them, that the Lord would let me come right to the pulpit and right to this very point in the service. And when we would bow our heads and pray, and I would say one thing with my mouth, but in my heart, I'm saying, Lord, give me the word. And marvelously, He would fill my mouth as I spoke it. And any of you that have taught, if you've taught any length of time at all, you know what I'm talking about. Or if you've preached and have been one that refused to preach in the flesh and wanted the Spirit of God to use you, you've come to that place as well. And I know that many of you have experienced that. Well, then there was a time after I learned that lesson, learned how to trust the Lord, that the Lord bring me to a place where He would give me a message ahead of time, and He would bring me to the platform, and He'd change it. And I'd have to do something completely different. And I would take that message, and I would lay it in the drawer, and I had a wonderful sense of security because I had that kind of there anytime I would need it. And I got two or three of those ahead. And never would He let me use them. And when I would go out and go to get ready to preach, you know, and get ready to prepare me, and I'd go, well, let's see what's in the drawer. I'd go to the drawer. In that drawer now is several, all outlined and just right there. Really great messages. And there are some, there's just like a scripture or a note written on a piece of paper. You know, you get an idea and write it down and just tuck it away in a drawer, and there's a whole stack of them there. And so I'll go through that from time to time and leaf through. No. It's like there's no life in them, just no life at all. Well, this one, we'll either do it tonight or it'll go in the drawer. But I tell you something, you know, if the rapture doesn't come, if the rapture doesn't come, and I go on to meet the Lord with natural causes, you know, in 40, 50 years or so. And some of you will still be around because you're believing the Lord for that long life too. Don't forget to check that drawer because there's some good word in that drawer. And over the next 40 or 50 years, you know, it'll probably get even better. You think I'm silly, don't you? I have one or two things I want to add to the smorgasbord that the Lord is giving us this morning. And yesterday afternoon and last evening, He began to deal with me on a particular subject. He just wouldn't let me alone, wouldn't let me alone. And I finished what I had thought to what I had prepared to bring you this morning. And it was last evening, and I was shining my shoes and getting ready for church this morning. And this, it just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming and coming. And He wouldn't let me alone with it. And I had to go back downstairs again and get out my concordance and look up some things. And came back upstairs and shine my shoes again. And no, back downstairs again. And just put some of these notes together. And it's the kind of a subject that I really don't want to deal with because I'm not sure that I have dealt with it myself yet. You understand what I mean? But the Word of God is the Word of God. And He called me to preach the Word. And I have to preach it to myself as well as to the rest of us. I want to start in 1 John. There's a connection here. It's just a loose connection, but it's in, I'm looking at the time here, and I don't want to, it is 25 to 1, and I don't intend to go on and preach an hour, but I just have two things
here.
John chapter 2. This verse of scripture has been coming to me strong for about the last 10 days. We are prone to say, oh, I just love that. We're prone to say about the things of this world, oh, I just love that. I love steak and French fries. Or I just love steak. I love fried, oh, I love fried okra. It's a bad time to be talking like that, isn't it? It was not on purpose. Oh, I just love baseball. Oh, I love football. That's my favorite. I just love it. We hear that expression, and probably every one of us in here, I love my new car. How do you like your, oh, I love it. I love your dress. I love my new shirt. Oh, that's a beautiful, beautiful pair of shoes. I just love them. They look so nice. That's the way we talk, isn't it? Verse number 15 in 1 John 2. It's amazing. The Holy Spirit will quicken the silliest things. I mean, it's seemingly silly. Silly to the world. But when you get born again and filled with the Holy Spirit begins to deal with you about all sorts of different things that you never would have thought about before. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, last Sunday morning, we talked at length about the commandment of love. And Jesus Christ summed up all of the commandments of the Mosaic law, all of the commandments of the prophets, all 10 commandments and all of the variations thereof, when he said, love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second commandment is like unto this one, love your neighbor as yourself. It's proper to love God and to love one another. It is improper to love steak, football, fried okra, chicken, your neighbor's new shirt, or your new pair of shoes. And it's a dangerous way of talking. Now some of you think, boy, is he going deep? Is he going off the deep end? Hope he doesn't come up. I hope nobody's saying that. I just love it. That the way people talk? Love not the world, neither love the things that are of the world, because he that loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Oh, I love my new guitar. I love my new baby doll. I love my new game. Oh, I love my new house. My new furniture. How do you like your new furniture? I hear you got a whole new bedroom. Oh, I love it. Better not. Now, some of you think that's dumb. But what it is, if we're not careful as Christians, it is setting our affections on the things of this life. We are hid in Christ. We are to set our affections on things above, not the things that are in the earth. And that kind of talking shows where our affections are set. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Well, I don't really love those things. Well, why did you say it then? Well, it's just a manner of talking. Yes, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Love God and love one another, but love not the things of the earth, because the love of the world is not of the Father. Verse number 16 tells us how stupid it is to love steak, football, new dresses, new houses, and bedroom furniture. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father,
but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. All of those things that I just mentioned that we go around loving are passing away. Now I'm preaching to myself. In the past, I would love beautiful flowers. They just give me so much joy. Well, I just can't really love them. I can't. Because they're going to pass away. You know they're going to pass away in a few weeks. When the frost comes, they'll be gone. I believe God's dealing here with an attitude of our heart, that we have to be very careful on which we set our affection, because all of these things will compete for the true love that we are to show to God and to one another. All right, now turn with me, please. That's that helping there. Now turn over to Proverbs chapter 4. And this is the one that the Lord just pressed me about this. It was pressing me so hard that I began to wonder whether it was the Holy Spirit or at all, and think maybe it was an unholy spirit, because, you know, you can get pressure from that area too. But it is the Word of God. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to start reading in the first verse in order to set a background, and then hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. And when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Solomon, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, is giving clear instruction that we ought to listen to the words of our Father, that they are profitable to us. And even though we may not understand them, even though they don't make sense, that we need to be careful to take His instruction, to take His doctrine, to take His law, to seek to promote the Word of God, to exalt the Word of God, and it will look after us. There are many things about the Word of God that we do not understand. There are many things that we are commanded to do and many things that we are commanded to avoid doing in God's Word. And a very many of them, because of the way that we have been raised, and the environment in which we live, do not speak to us in a rational, reasonable way. We do not understand why we are to do certain things and avoid doing others. But what Solomon is saying here is, look, the Word of God is profitable for us, and it's beneficial for us, and if we will simply make a decision to do it, and to abide by it, and to live by it, to avoid those things that he says avoid, and to do those things that he says do, that it will be beneficial, will be promoted, and that when we run, we'll not stumble and fall. There are a great many Christians today who are stumbling and falling, and they don't know why. From time to time in our services right here, the Spirit of God will speak to us out of a passage of Scripture, and you will hear me say, this is why, one reason why, many Christians are stumbling and falling, why many Christians are not receiving from God, and why many Christians are not walking in the fullness of that which God said today we should walk in. I heard the Lord say through the voice of prophecy this morning, through the gift of prophecy, that we ought not to just talk a good game, we ought to live a good game. And that people round about us ought to be able to see by the light of our countenance, and they ought to be able to see by a successful pattern of living. They ought to be able to see the benefits of doing God's Word, believing and doing God's Word. Many Christians, unfortunately, do not foster that kind of witness and do not have that kind of a witness in their lives. And I believe that's why the Lord is speaking to us in that way this morning. This that I'm going to share with you in the next few verses is one reason why Christians stumble. Now, you're going to find it strange. I can tell you that right now, because I find it strange, and I'm still dealing with it, if you want to know the truth. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Now, he's talking about wicked people here. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. In other words, they can't go to sleep unless they mess somebody up. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Now there's the key. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The Lord has been dealing with me in the last 24 hours about violence and the kind of society that we live in. It's a violent society. It's a violent lifestyle that most people have today. Psalm 11 and 5 tells us that the Lord hates violence. And if you'll read Genesis chapter 6, verse 11 and 13, you will see that the earth was filled with violence when God sent the flood to destroy it. If you read Isaiah, the 53rd chapter and the 9th verse, you will see that there was no violence in the Messiah. That Jesus Christ of Nazareth did no violence. Now, violence was done to him, but he did no violence. In Luke's gospel, the 3rd chapter, the 14th verse, John the Baptist is giving a man an answer when he's asked, well, what should I do? And John said, do violence to no man. Galatians, the 5th chapter and the 22nd verse tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, not violence. But we live in the midst of a violent people. We live in the midst of a violent society. And even within the lives of Christians, we permit a tremendous amount of violence to creep in. And God's Word relates violence to wickedness. The wicked man is violent. The wicked man is engaged in violence. And those that are righteous are not to do any violence, as did not Christ. Those that follow after him should not do the same. Now, what does all this have to do with me? I guess even Christians probably become most violent when they're driving their cars. What happens to you when somebody cuts you out? What is the first thing that rises up on the inside of you unless you've been walking close to God? That violent spirit just whines, I'd like to get a hold of him. I would tear him from limb to limb. I hear it in parents. I hear this expression in place of I'm going to discipline my child, or I'm going to spank my child, or I'm going to put the rod on my child. Do you know what parents say? I'm going to tear you up. Now you tell me if that's not violence. I'm going to tear you up. Now, I confess to you that when my children were small, I had the same desire. And probably did say, we grew up north, not south, and so the term was not, I'm going to tear you up. The term was, I'm going to tear you limb from limb, which is probably a little more violent rather than less. We speak that way. We talk that way. We think that way because that's the what we're fed and that's what we see and that's what we live. We turn the television set on and we see cops and robbers, bang, 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 I got you. And I walk into a person's house and they have little children in the house and they got their guns out shooting at one another. Bang, bang, I got you. Praise God, it doesn't happen very often in the homes of Spirit-filled believers because God has done something in parents. I did find here, though, a cap pistol. After we had a work day here one day, the kids playing with a cap pistol. Now, please don't anybody say, well, he's really getting down on me. I'm not getting down on you. I want you to see what the Word of God says. The Lord hates violence. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. We turn on a television set and we think that Americana is the Western movie. Blood all over the streets of Laredo. I want you to know I like Western movies. I do. Always did. I want you to know I think maybe I shouldn't. The games we play are probably the worst example. We love our boxing, where two grown men get in the ring and try to hurt each other for entertainment. Every scratch is highlighted by the commentator. Every swelling in the eye, every drop of blood is identified. And it's called sport. Now I'm going to get you where you live. What did somebody say? Why did you pick the year we're going to the Super Bowl, Pastor? Why couldn't you preach this 3 years ago when they only won two games? Now, I played football when I was in high school. I played it for 2 years, and I just enjoyed it very, very much. It's a game that I still enjoy. I enjoy the competition. I enjoy watching it very much. I don't mind telling you, I enjoy it very much. But yesterday, a brother was kind enough to give me two tickets for the game in Athens, and Lois and I went up, and we had a marvelous time. Just marvelous, really enjoyed the game, the pageantry, everything, just beautiful. But all through that game, the Lord is dealing with me. And coming home, He's dealing with me. And last night, He's dealing with me. It's a wonderful, wholesome sport, and of course, it's nonviolent, football is. That's why there's an ambulance at each end of the field. And the reason you see that they wear the masks on their faces to keep them from kissing each other. The padding that they wear that makes them twice the size is not designed whatsoever to prevent them from hurting each other. It's in case they stumble and fall that they don't get hurt. That's why there are paramedics all over the place and stretchers. That's why the people all around you at the ball game are half plowed. And they're all hollering, kill them! Tear them apart, dogs! Eat them up, dogs! Get them, dogs! Nonviolent. Nonviolent. And if we could just put the opposition's quarterback out, don't hurt him too bad. Break a leg, maybe. Don't kill him, just break a leg. And we eulogize and magnify power and strength and knock them down. Now, I tell you, I'd rather not even speak on this subject today. Because I like football. I enjoy it. I really do. I do not like the violence. But I saw violence in the game yesterday that I had never observed before. I mean, I saw it in the eyes of God. I saw it in the eyes of the Spirit. I saw it in a spiritual way that I had never seen before. And I wonder what is really different about going out and watching people break each other's bodies apart. What is different between that and going to the Colosseum at Rome and watching the lions tear up Christians? I mean, is there? sure there is, but it's probably not as great as we've always thought it was. All I'm doing this morning, I'm not going to draw any conclusions. I'm just going to share what's on my heart, and I sense the Lord dealing with me. Now, I've got a problem. So do you. And I'm not going to tell you how I'm going to solve mine. But this afternoon, the men in red and silver are going to be tearing up the men in brown and orange, or vice versa, in the name of sport. And they're going to broadcast it into my home. And I have a choice to make. Do you understand? I always wondered why they call them the Falcons and the Bears and the Hawks and the Lions and the Tigers. See, why do they use names like that? The more violent the name, the more violent the team, the greater the press, the greater the success, and that is the thing that the world loves. And beloved, we are raising our children. We bring them into an atmosphere of gentleness and love in the house of God. And then we take them out and feed them a diet of violence. And we're living in a violent world. And I suppose that the Lord would say to us today, just be careful. Just be sober and be vigilant. Could it be that the steady diet of violence that we feed ourselves, could it be that that one thing right there is a contributing factor to the reason why Christians so frequently stumble and fall? Could it be? Is there a connection? If there is, we have a decision to make on that. Let's pray. Father, we see in your word that there's only one place that violence is a desirable attribute, and that is in taking the kingdom of God and pressing into it in an intense manner. But every other mention of violence has been attributed to the works of evil and the works of wickedness. You, Father, deal with us. You deal with us, Lord, where you want us to be and what you want us to do and what you want us not to do. And if we make a decision, Father, to do or not do, help us not to judge our brother who has not made the same decision because either he doesn't see it that way or because you don't deal with him or haven't yet dealt with him. We know, Father, that on the Atlanta Falcon football team, there are a great number of Christian brothers, and for that we are extremely grateful and thankful. We know that they love you, Father. We have heard it from their own lips, and we have seen it in their lives, in that part that we're able to observe. They willingly give public testimony to the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. Your word says that makes them our brothers. And we pray for them, Father, for their protection and also for their continued witness and continue, Lord, to use them to lead other men in their profession into the kingdom of God and to lead people in the world who really get to, have this almost like a god. Football. Professional sports. Lead them out of that morass into the kingdom of heaven. If they have liberty, Father, to play football, we don't judge their liberty. And nor, Father, do I judge the liberty of any of my brothers or sisters here in this auditorium who want to watch football or be a participant in as a spectator if they sense they have that liberty from you, Father, and help us not to judge one another. But do help us, Father, to stand for the truth. Do help us, Lord, to stand for your word. Do help us, Lord, to rightly divide the word. And do help us, Lord, to be able to discern aright that which is good of you and that which is of the world that we are not to love. Sometimes, Lord, it's betwixt and between. We want to know your truth. We want to know your word. But when you show it to us, then we have to walk in it. But we continue to pray, Father, lead us into all truth. Show us your truth by the Spirit, Father. Let us see your ways. Let us walk the way Jesus walked. Let us live the way he lived. Keep our feet in an even place that we not stumble and fall. I thank you, Father, that today you have given us a different kind of meal. I am satisfied, Lord, that you have fed every one of your children, that your word has nourished each of us, a portion of it. And for that I say thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Sally, I want you to come to the piano, if you will, please. And I want you just to play Alleluia once again. I want you to stand to your feet in the congregation. And as we prepare to depart from here, I'm going to ask you just to sing a love song to the Lord, to express to him that we'll not love the world, we'll love only him. Lord, I love you. 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 Jesus, that's our confession. We love you. We love not the things of the world. We're not attracted by them. For we know that they're going to burn up and pass away. When your kingdom fully comes, it'll come in righteousness and in gentleness and in peace and in love. And we'll not compete with one another, but we'll help one another. We'll not do violence or hurt to one another, but we'll minister healing to one another. Let your love come soon, Lord, and fill every heart in every corner of this earth. Start with us. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, amen. You are dismissed to love others with his